Happy birthday, dear Gibby. Happy birthday to you. Hey, man. Little Gibby, how old are you now? He's 12 years old, guys. I was 12 for one whole year once. Yep, that's it, man. So that's how long it lasted, amen. All right. So with that said, guys, whereas you guys know our usual, we're just going to go over some quick announcements before we get started with church today, amen. We just want to thank God for those of you who are able to make it here today for church. It always is a blessing. It's good to see some of our members return back. As you guys know, we have been praying for some of you. We know that there are some that have health issues that are going on, and that's very important. It's important to us. It's important to God. And it's important that we remain a church that is praying together and praying for each other. So we just want to be thankful for those that you do see come back to church you haven't seen in a minute. And we are very glad to see some of you guys be here at church today. It sure is a blessing. But when you don't see folks here, you never know what's going on. They may have some medical things. They may have some other things. So keep them in prayer, amen. And try to send an encouraging text message or a phone call. They just call up on each other and say, hey, I haven't seen you in church. Is everything okay? And we just want to be a family that prays together, amen. So with that said, calendar announcement. As I've been letting you guys know for about a month in advance now, we will be going to Fontana, California on the 1st of November. So we are 2 weeks away. That's going to be a Tuesday. And Brother Carlos has been asked to special guest preach out there for Brother Edgar Marquez for his church leadership team, Inland Baptist Church. The address is there on the calendar. If you'd like to join us to show some love and support, we're most likely going to be leaving here in Oceanside around 3 o'clock. It's about an hour and a half away up north. So that way it'll give us time to enjoy our drive, enjoy our fellowship. So 3 o'clock, Planet, November the 1st, Tuesday. If you're unable to join us, the most important thing you can do, obviously, is pray. Pray for me, pray for my wife, pray for those who want to go. But most importantly, that the Lord can use me just to be a vessel to help bring edification to the saints that are there. And I'm very thankful for the opportunity that I've been given to be asked to come and share the Word of God there with the saints in Fontana, California. So I sure appreciate those of you who are praying for me already and asking the Lord to prepare my heart and my mind. I already have the message prepped, if you will. It's just some things other than that to help edify for what they asked for me to minister to them about. Amen. So please keep that in prayer. Also, we're going to start planning our Thanksgiving church dinner. So when you get a chance, talk to Sister Eileen. We need to plan it for next month before my wife and I fly out from the 21st through the 27th. Never mind, it's already there. So we're just going to keep talking about it as we get closer to the date. We're going to officialize it. Most likely, it's going to be the Sunday. Are you talking about, oh, you want to do it after church? Okay, so then, okay, so it sounds like Sunday afternoon. What we could just do for the sake of time, because it does get darker a lot sooner now, we can probably just go straight after church service. Right here, we can have a little church potluck after that. So let's go ahead and start. Let's just go ahead and plan it now. Sunday the 20th. That's the day that the day before we fly out. Let's do it after church around 4:30. So that way we can hang out and it won't get too dark after that, if you will. I know we want to respect some of you guys who obviously don't want to be driving out late at night. So the 20th November, let's have our church potluck. Bring whatever you want. Bring whatever you want. But most importantly, bring yourself and just have a good time. We're just going to have a good church Thanksgiving dinner and just boast on God and pray for each other. You guys know we like to have a time of testimony and stuff like that. So that should be a blessing, and let's just go ahead and do that. And then pray for my wife and I as we will plan ourselves flying out for the week. We're still waiting to see if you guys will have a midweek prayer, at least for that week, and then also a special guest preacher to come for you Sunday, and then that way we'll continue to have assembly here. Amen. Okay, we want to give our shout-outs. Brother Joe Bonney, amen. He went soul winning with us yesterday. Yeah, praise the Lord for that, amen. He earned a coffee. He earned a coffee. But no, other than that, we continued where we left off there, guys, on Fusat and Las Vegas. We went out there door knocking, amen. That sure was a blessing to see him. You guys see that cool basketball court? Well, who's taller than Brother Carlos, Brother Giovanni? We want to tell him about Jesus Christ, amen. So now they have to purposefully get that flyer up there, amen. So Brother Joe was stirred. He was dunking it up, putting a little flyer right there, amen. And we were out there having a good time. So please continue to pray for the neighbors that we're witnessing to. We had some great conversations. Brother Joe was there following my wife and I in the last house. He did it all by himself, amen. That was a blessing. And so we had some great interactions. We talked to a couple of folks and just try to share Christ with them. You know, there was an elderly Catholic lady who was sincere. She honestly said, "I can't read," but she just believes what she's been taught concerning this thing called purgatory and things like that that we know the Bible doesn't talk about. But she was sincere. She heard it, and I hope that she can, you know, be willing to be stirred to come to church one day so we can meet her needs spiritually. Others, we just tagged the doors, and then others, again, we interacted. So I want to thank God, and again, it's always an encouragement to see some of you that are able to join us. Again, when you do have a day off on the Saturdays, it always is a blessing. Amen. So when you guys can, join us on our corporate days, Saturdays, Thursdays downtown. And then, like I said, in a couple of weeks, not yet, we'll let you know officially when my wife and I will go for Monday afternoon door knocking in another neighborhood. And of course, as I told you before, as a man of my word, if you have a day off and you're not going to work and you want to put in work for your King and your Savior, say, "Brother Carlos, Sister Katie, let's go out for an hour. I have my day off today. We will go with you. Let's go ahead to help you to become fruitful and obedient, to start building that discipline of being a faithful soul winner, obedient to the Lord's commandment to go into the world, and that will sure be a blessing." Amen. So I just wanted to plug that in there. That was a blessing. Study blogs, you guys already know. You guys can check those out. Ministry opportunities, we talked about that. Prayer, the most important announcement we can make here at church. Please put your prayer requests there. Live stream links, right now we're only doing it through YouTube. And then last but not least, church, if you are a member of this church, hope you are, please remain faithful in whatever you purpose to financially give for the work of service. Between you and God, just know the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Don't give grudgingly, give cheerfully. Whatever that might be between you and God, you can do it online or you can do it by the box back there. Amen. And that's pretty much it. Amen. Pretty much it. All right, guys, would you do me a favor and turn your Bibles now to the book of Galatians chapter number 2. Galatians chapter 2. Let's continue now with our verse-by-verse study through this wonderful New Testament book of the Bible, Galatians chapter 2, and we are going to pick up where we left off from verse number 7. My goal is to finish the chapter and do some unique studies to show you guys. But Galatians chapter 2, and we're going to pick up here verse number 7. I just want to remind you guys of the theme of the book of Galatians. If you go back to Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, it teaches Christians for the purpose, the twofold purpose of the gospel. Not only did Jesus Christ give himself for our sins, that is to pay for them on the cross, he rose from the dead to offer mankind the promise of everlasting life. Galatians is reminding now the Christian of that spiritual power now working itself out through the believer, how to live a spiritual and obedient life as a Christian. That when you trusted Christ as your Savior, he immediately gave you the Holy Spirit, and he gave you the power, that resurrection power, so you and I no longer have to continue to live a life of sin, but that we can be delivered from sin, from sinful living, from the world. And that comes having a personal relationship with Jesus. It comes when you're meditating on him. It comes when you're reading the Word of God. It comes through obedience. And when he gave you that liberty, you're not going to continue to grow or be perfected in your faith by any religious works, any laws, if you will, from the Old Testament laws. We've been learning, God has been teaching us how old, in those olden days, Jews who were still clinging to the Old Testament works of the law, try to bring that over to the Christian faith and the liberty that Christians have in Christ, and try to say, you're not going to be spiritual, you're not going to be perfected, you're not going to be growing, unless you still maintain onto this yoke of bondage. But the Holy Spirit said, no, that law has no place in Christ. As a matter of fact, Christ fulfilled it, he established it. The law can never do nothing for men prior to it concerning eternal life. And number two, it can make anybody holier. It only condemns sinners of their sin. But Jesus can. He can do that. And so the focus is the Spirit of God telling you, the Christian, to keep your mind on Christ, keep your heart on Christ, and let the New Testament doctrine establish your faith in Christ. So I'm just kind of reminding you guys of what we've been discussing. So let's read now from verse number 7 through the end here. But contrary-wise, here's Paul discussing of these other false brethren who crept into the churches up there. It could have been, generally speaking, Jews who were still clinging to the Old Testament law, trying to cause problems for Christians. Contrarize, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me. Remember, uncircumcision is just another term to denote the Jews or the Jewish people. as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter. Oh, I'm sorry, uncircumcision, Gentiles, circumcision, the Jews. Verse 8, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. When James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. Remember, this is the showdown. Both men of God, both great apostles, but one of them had a fault. Now here's what happened. For before that certain came from James. Remember, when Paul makes reference to certain coming from James or from the church in Jerusalem, it is speaking of Jews who were assembling down there. When they came to the church up there, the Bible says here, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself. What was Peter's problem? Fearing them which were of the circumcision. So here comes the Europeans, here comes the Asians, here comes the black man, here comes the khaki-colored man, here comes all those folks that were not Jews. And when they would go up there to fellowship with the Christian church in Antioch, Peter ate with them. He ate the carnitas. He ate all those things that Gentiles ate because they were without the law, remember. But whenever these Jews came up from Jerusalem, apparently Peter esteemed them higher than Christ. Peter esteemed them higher than the Christian conduct that was supposed to be lived out from the gospel, teaching them concerning the law, and he separated himself. He distanced himself because he feared man. Other Jews, now see there, that's how it breaks it down there for you, verse 13, dissembled likewise with him. So now it got some other Christians looking at Peter's actions and saying, well, if Peter can do it, it must be okay. You know, he's an apostle. It must be okay for me to act like this guy because he's obviously doing it. But that's not. And we gave you guys some lessons. Just because you see another pastor do it, just because you see another church do certain things that are not according to the Word of God, it doesn't mean it's okay. And I gave you guys some applicational warning there. The Bible says, insomuch that Barnabas was carried away with their dissimulation. We talked to you guys about that. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. Notice what Paul said. He didn't say that they didn't believe the gospel, guys. He didn't say that they didn't have an intellectual understanding of the gospel, guys. He said that they walked not uprightly according to the truth. They had some faults. They weren't being perfect in that manner. In that one area of being the Christian and their Christian conduct, they had a fault. They weren't walking up to par. Paul said to Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? You know what he did? He called them out. Peter, you're being a hypocrite. You're a Jew by birth. These are Gentiles by birth. You are trying to make them act like you when you're not even acting like that yourself. Why are you trying to act one way in front of them and act another way when they're not around? What are you doing, Peter? We who are Jews by nature, this is Paul talking to him because he's also a Jew, and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law. Paul and Peter understood the gospel. They understood that Jesus Christ was the only means by which they can be forgiven of their sins. They both understood and agreed that Jesus Christ's blood is the only thing that can wash them and clear them of their guilt before Jehovah God. It wasn't the deeds of the law. It wasn't the works which Moses commanded that Jew to do. None of that. It was by the faith of Christ. They both agreed to that. They both believed in it at some point. But what's today's lesson? Peter strayed from the application of that. Notice what he said. We know, verse 16, a man is not justified by the works of law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. This is Peter being rebuked by Paul in front of the church. Everybody's listening. Peter, you know what we believed in. Peter, you know you trusted Christ. You know that law couldn't do nothing for our soul, salvation. You know that, Peter. So what are you doing? Why are you trying to teach and practice and conduct your way something contrary to what you believed in? But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What does he say there? I do not frustrate the grace of God. That's what he was doing. That's what these Jews were doing. When they would go into the Christian churches and still tell them, you must honor the laws of Moses. You must honor circumcision for the men. You must still do certain deeds of the law. The Holy Spirit calls that frustrating the grace of God. But what about the Gentile? If a Gentile seeks to be justified and they want to perfect their faith by their old traditions, by their old celebrations and their old cultures, you know what they do? They frustrate the grace of God. What happens when a Christian a Jew or a Gentile goes back to the bondage from which Christ delivered them out of? You know what we do? We frustrate the grace of God. Paul said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Peter, you and I both know, them laws, they could not offer us eternal life. Jesus Christ did. Jesus Christ could, and he proved it because he rose from the dead. He fulfilled it. You and I couldn't. But if you're trying to establish now salvation, and you're trying to, again, with this dissimulation, this hypocritical living, you act one way with the Jews over here, you act another way over here with the Gentiles over here, you know what you're doing, Peter? You're frustrating the grace of God. Because if you and I could have earned righteousness and eternal life, Jesus Christ's death was in vain. That's what the Holy Spirit said. He would not need to have died if there was any way that Jew could receive the forgiveness of sins by the works of the law. Let's pray. God, thank you for this study now. I pray that you would minister through me as a vessel. I thank you for everybody that's here today. Give me clarity of thought, Lord, to convey the truths that are found here in the book of Galatians to our church. And whatever knowledge we gain, God, once again, help us to use it to edify Christians. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want you guys to do your best to follow along with me now. I'm going to point out to you a couple of keywords that if you want to jot down on your own, you can read them. And then later on, you can go back to them on your own time. Some of those keywords are the following. Number one, they. Paul contrasts us and we from the they. Who are the they? I'm going to define them for you as false brethren. Who are the they? Them that are troubling the Christian's liberty. Who are the we? Who are the us? The Christian, the believer, the one who's been born again, the one who's been made free by trusting the gospel of Jesus Christ. So today I'm going to show you now, we're going to walk through these verses so that way you can understand when you're reading the Bible, and especially New Testament letters written to you, applicable for you, telling you how to live as a Christian, some of the ways that you can find out if there is application or the direction of the audience is just ask yourself, who are the we? Who are the they? Who is God trying to contrast me with concerning someone outside of being a Christian? Someone outside of being in the immediate, if you will, context for the application. So now let's go ahead and do that. The word they, it appears 22 times in 17 verses in the book of Galatians here within our King James Bible. The first of them is in Galatians 1, 23 through 24. The they there, however, those were just fellow Christians who heard of Saul's conversion but didn't meet him face to face. In Galatians 2, verses 4, 6, and 7, it does convey the false brethren. Now look at here, if you have your Bible already, Galatians 2, look at verse number 4. The Bible says, and that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus. Now look at that, they might bring us into bondage. You see there? Go down here to verse number 6, later on in the last half of the verse, for they who seem to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. And then one more in verse number 7, but when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision, etc., etc. So I want you to see now, when Paul contrasts us and we with the day, the false brethren here in chapter number 2. But then the verse 9 through 10 in Galatians 2, the they are speaking of the apostles, elders in Jerusalem. You guys can see here later on when you guys read your Bible. In Galatians 3, the they in verses 7 through 9 are acknowledged as children of Abraham. Why? Because of their faith, just like Abraham put in the word of God when it was presented to them. You and I are the they, like, if you will, of Abraham's faith. We are accounted the same as the children of Abraham because we have put our faith in the gospel when it was presented to us. And in Galatians 4, verse number 17, and Galatians 5, verse 12, again, the they denotes the false brethren affecting the hearts and minds of these Christians in the churches. Paul would that they were cut off from troubling their faith in Christ. As a matter of fact, let's read that real quick. Look at Galatians chapter number, I think it's 4:17. If not, it's Galatians 5. Yeah, let's go to Galatians 5. Turn your Bible there real quick, and then look it with me in verse number 12. Look at that. Here's how much love the apostle had for the Christians. And here's how much he despised false brethren messing around with Christians' faith in the finished crosswork of Christ. You know what he said in verse 12? I would they were even cut off which trouble you. Not he wanted them. He wished and hoped that they were cut off from their assembly, no doubt in relationship to them coming to the church, that they were cut off from having access to the church. But when you do that reference, cut off all throughout your Old Testament, when God cuts off a man from his people, it's literally them being killed or destroyed. So, of course, it sounds like, whoa, what are you saying that Paul wanted that kind of judgment upon these people because of them troubling the Christians? Absolutely. That's how strong our heart should be for making sure that each of our Christian members are growing with good and right doctrine. That anybody who's trying to mess with your Christian faith outside of this church, especially for application, we should be like, hey, we're going to protect each other the best we can with good doctrine. Later on, in Galatians 5:24, the they there are referenced as Christians, spiritual freedom, when the operation of God took place at the moment of their conversion. So again, I just want to point out to you, all throughout the book of Galatians, there is a contrast between the they and the us. The they and the we. And today we're going to discuss an application later on. Who are some of those theys in our life? So let's go back now to Galatians chapter number 2. I don't have enough time today, for time's sake, to go over every verse of the they and the us and the we. But suffice it to say, I think you understand the point. When you read the book of Galatians and the Bible makes reference to the word they, it could denote of those two groups, either a group of believers who didn't recognize Paul yet after his conversion, or number 2, the false brethren. And then the us and the we, those who believed in Christ, who are in liberty, being admonished to continue to be obedient to the Bible's commands. All right, now, let's go back to Galatians chapter number 2. So let's pick up where we left off in our last verse. Verse number 7. Well, let's go ahead and go back to verse number 1 just to remind us of the context, but we'll move on from verse 7. Our goal is to try to finish chapter 2 today. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 1, then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. We gave you some great application there. Obviously, of just talking to the Christian leadership when you want to start doing something for God and not just trying to pass around the secret literature to the members of the church. Paul, he went up to James, he went up to Cephas, he went up to John there in Jerusalem, talking about what he was teaching and the doctrine and everything else that was going around. He went and had a private meeting. Now, verse number 3. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of what again? False brethren unawares brought in. So how they got in there? Unaware. But they came in and they were privately spying out the liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they, again, there it is, might bring us into bondage. So again, what is the warning? Whoever the they are that are trying to creep into their churches to bring them under the bondage of the Old Testament yoke, the Old Testament law that has no place in the salvation that is offered freely through the knowledge of Jesus Christ. An application today? Who could be some of the they that are trying to bring you back underneath the bondage? You know the they who I'm talking about. Your family, your friends who are still not saved. You know the they that want to get you back to drinking again, to get you back to listening to the music and videos you used to listen to. You know the they who said, hey, come back out here just a little bit. It's all right. You know, we'll tolerate a little bit of your Jesus. Yeah, bring your Bible, but, you know, just don't really speak about it. But we can hang out. Who are those theys that want to bring you back under bondage? Don't allow them to bring you back under bondage. I gave you that Sunday message last Sunday. Walk as a child of light, not a child of darkness. So let's keep moving. Paul said, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. You know what they did? They did not allow those false brethren, the they, to come into the church and allow those guys to spread their garbage, not even for an hour. I wonder how many of us allow ourselves, when we go back home in the privacy of our walk with God and the liberties that God has given us, how many of us still entertain the theys of the world? How many of us still entertain the bondage that you and I were delivered out of? Why do we still allow ourselves to have some amount of time to be tickled and to be influenced by that doctrine when you have freedom in Christ? I just want to give you that for free. Now, verse number 6, Paul said, but of these who seemed to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepted no man's person. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. So what is he saying there? They realize and they recognize it was the same Jesus Christ of Nazareth who ordained Peter for his ministry and who ordained Paul for his ministry. They recognize that because the Spirit of God operating through Paul in his ministration there amongst the believers in and throughout Galatia. So whosoever those guys were that were troubling Paul, it didn't matter to him because he knew who ordained him. He knew the authority that he had received from Christ. It's not a problem. It's not going to bother him. He knows that God doesn't favor no man. Verse number 9. When James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. Before we close, we're going to go back to Acts 15, where this meeting went down. So when Paul went down there, he's talking to the chief men, the Bible says. He's talking to the leaders of the church, amen? So there you have it, the three men that were main chiefs, if you will, of the church there in Jerusalem. It was James, Cephas, that's just the Aramaic for Peter, and then John. And they were the pillars, Paul said. But when they recognized that God truly was operating through Paul, because of all the rumors that were spreading about his doctrine, that the law has no place in the Christian gospel. The law could not offer salvation in the Christian gospel. That's right. And they all came together and they all agreed. But then something happened over time with Peter. What happened? We're going to talk about that before we close. They just asked Paul, hey, just don't forget the poor. Don't forget the poor. And verse number 10, Paul said, of course, I was forward to do that. Now verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I would sit him to the face because he was to be blamed. Why? Verse 12. Before. So what happens? Time went on. Peter, Paul, James, and John. When they had that discussion, they all understood the gospel. They all came into agreement as Jewish men. The law could not offer eternal life. The law could not grant the forgiveness of sins for eternal life. It only was a yoke of bondage. But the faith of Christ can. By the grace of God, the faith of Christ could, and it does. It has no place. The Gentiles were not expected nor commanded to do anything according to that yoke of bondage. But before and after, time went on. Verse number 12, before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. This is Peter. So Peter, a faithful Jew, he had the vision in Acts 10. When the Lord said, rise up, Peter, and eat. He told God, I ain't going to eat that unclean taco de carne. I'm not going to eat that, you know, chorizo. I ain't going to eat all that stuff. I'm a Jew, Lord. None of that unclean stuff had ever come into my mouth. But the Lord taught him a vision. He taught him a lesson. What God has cleansed, that call thou not uncommon or unclean. And that's him getting in the understanding of the Gentile inclusion in the Messiah. So he was eating with the Gentiles. There was no problem. Peter would come up and visit, and they'd all be having a good time fellowshipping and worshiping the Lord. But when those Jews came, he separated himself. He acted like a hypocrite. Look at verse number 12. When they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. So what's the focus? False brethren, they witnessed the power of God operating through Paul and his ministration in Galatia. They understood that Christ ordained him. Like Peter, likewise, the apostles and elders rehearsed the matter there in Jerusalem in Acts 15. What was Peter's fault? He feared the Jews. Perhaps some whom Paul acknowledged as false brethren, because he separated himself from fellowship with the Gentiles when they came. Was that a real problem during those days? Yes, it was. Do me a favor and turn your Bible with me to the book of Acts chapter 11. Acts the 11th chapter. And we're going to let the Bible now show us exactly what he's talking about. This is a real thing. You have to remember too, guys, back in these days, the early church was predominantly Jewish. So for them to have been taught from a babe, I mean, for the men, they were circumcised when they were 8 days old, remember the law. And number two, they were taught that you have to go to that temple, you have to offer these sacrifices if you want to maintain a right relationship with God. All that to be told by a man, no, you don't have to do that no more. Matter of fact, that couldn't do nothing for you. Matter of fact, Jesus Christ is far superior. As a matter of fact, that Bible told you Jesus was going to come. It completely, you know, shatters the Jews' culture. That's why it was difficult for them to let go. You got to try your best to understand that now in the light of understanding their culture. So look at Acts 11, verse number 1. I'm just giving you a parallel verse so you can see that this was a real prejudice at the time. Even verse number 1. Bible says here, and the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him. Those are Jews contending with a Jewish apostle for seeing and preaching Jesus Christ to Gentiles and them believing. We'll look at verse number 3. Thou wentest into men uncircumcised and didst eat with them. That's what their contention was. But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them. Now, we're not going to go through all the verses. All you have to do is just remember Acts 10. Peter got the vision from the Spirit of God. He doubted what the vision meant because he understood Gentiles can get saved. Gentiles can get saved. It's not just a Jewish inclusion. It's not just, you know, limited to the Jews. No, Gentiles. I got to go into the world. I got to preach the gospel. That's what my rabbi told me to do. So he went to the house of Cornelius. Remember that, guys. Cornelius got saved. He got saved before water baptism was even applied to him and his family. Y'all remember that? Holy Spirit came upon them. They began to speak with tongues. And obviously, Peter understood it. Therefore, it's safe to say that was Hebrew because Peter needed to be convinced the Gentiles are also becoming born again, just like the Jews were, without the works of the law. So now look at all the way now, verse number 18. After Peter rehearsed the matter, look at verse number 17. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us. What was that gift in context, brother? Go to verse 16, the Holy Spirit, eternal life. Who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, Peter said, what was I that I could withstand God? That's a good mindset, Peter. Now what happened, Peter? What happened, Peter? You had the right doctrine. You had the right theological practice of your faith. But over time, some happened. But look at these Hebrews, verse 18. When they heard these things, they held their peace. What were they doing in verse number 2? They were contending with Peter. Remember that? They were arguing with Peter. What are you doing eating with those guys? But after he heard the word of God, you know what they did? They held their peace. They hushed it up. They quieted their mouth. and glorified God, they thank God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. That's going to come in handy later on. So what do we write? What do we read here? Well, here we have exactly what was going on there in the churches of Galatia. Here we have those same type of men and the spirit of those false brethren that changed their minds later on when Paul had to rebuke Peter for their dissimulation. The word dissimulation means hiding under a false appearance, feigning, false pretension, hypocrisy. Peter, Barnabas, both apostles, they were carried away with their dissimulation. That's what Galatians 2 told us. Now, let's go back through to Galatians 2, and then let's go to Ephesians 4. Remember, guys, keep a bookmarker in the base text, Galatians 2. Look at what Paul said about these guys. They were carried away with their dissimulation. They were carried away by their doctrine and by their conduct, by their teaching and the way they physically lived it out before people. Now, keep that in the back of your mind. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. Hope you're turning your Bible there with me. Is the weather okay in here? Is it too cold? Are you guys okay? Do we need to turn it up a little bit? No? Okay. Look at Ephesians 4 now. Why is it important for you, friend, to keep coming to church, to be in your pastor who's showing you the Bible right before your face, who is answering your questions with the scripture? Because what your pastor is trying to do is protect you from being carried away with the dissimulation of false brethren as soon as you walk outside them doors. Why are they false? Because they are not walking uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. They have the intellectual knowledge of Christ. They have the intellectual knowledge of salvation. But then their practice in their Christian conduct, it could hinder your practice of Christian conduct. And before you know it, you're going to start acting differently amongst other Christians if you're not being careful. Look at here, Ephesians 4:11. Bible says, talking about Jesus giving gifts to men. Look at verse 11. Hope you're reading now. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Thank you, Brother Joe, last Saturday. Praise the Lord. For the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now look at verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro, and look at that word again, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Right now, as soon as you walk out of these doors, as soon as you are outside of Brother Carlos's area and presence, teaching, and hey, brother, I have a question. Can you keep my mind on some good Bible doctrine? I can only do it as much as you allow me to. You come here, you're learning, praise God, but I can't force you. You guys know that there's free will. But as soon as you leave them doors, you know what that Bible says? There are men that are waiting to deceive you who will feign themselves. They will tell you they're a Christian. They will tell you they believe Jesus Christ. But before you know it, they're going to tell you, yeah, but Brother Joe, you know, yeah. Yeah, come on, man, you got to be circumcised. You know, if you really want to be right with God, you know, we got to honor the laws over here. We got to do some commandments over here. And, you know, Sister Eileen, you got to put a veil on over here. You got to, all those kind of things. They want to deceive you. They want to pull you back over here under some bondage. And before you know it, they're going to tell their pastor, because you're going to go over there, you're going to visit, hey, we got one more, check. Hey, we got one more, check. And that's exactly what those guys are doing. Go read Galatians 5 and 6. The Bible said, they were zealously affecting them to pull them out of the church. So then who are the days? Again, for application, not just people that are going to bring false doctrine into your church, into your Christian walk, but who are the days in your life who want to pull you back to the old life? Watch out for them. Watch out for them. That's all I can say, guys. I can't protect you at all times. You're going to have to be obedient in your own walk with the Lord when you get in those times. You feel me? You understand what I'm saying here? You guys got to be careful out there. That's all. So, even great men, chief men, even apostles, friends, they can be carried away by dissimulation of others when they fail to be obedient to the truth of the gospel. That's why, friend, we got to be obedient to the scriptures. It's okay to respect other pastors and other teachers, of course, but when they come short and when they practice something contrary to New Testament Christianity, you ignore them and you follow the scriptures. You ignore where they're coming short and you follow the scriptures. You got to be following the scriptures, friend. That's the most important thing to do. Obviously, contextually, Galatians, it's relating to the Old Testament law for salvation, but in application today, any minister who teaches contrary to the gospel and its practice for Christian conduct and their methodology, that's where I warned you. Whoever you are out there, listening to whoever you want to out there, whether it's online and private and secret, it would be best for you and wise for you to consult your pastor and the Bible and prove those online guys or those local guys. And wherever the Bible is clear and is approved by the Bible and your pastor, hey, that's all good. All you got to say is, bro, hey, what do you think about this guy? And I'll sit down with you, brother or sister, and I'll listen to some of those sermons with you, and I'll say, hey, that's good stuff. Because the Bible says here, I'm in agreement with how they're looking at the scripture. It's safe for you. I can say, bro, hey, that's a good guy or good, you know, person or church. Not a problem. But if they go contrary in one area, manner, shape, or form, you have to trust the Bible, and you got to trust your pastor God gave you for a reason to protect you so you're not carried away with perhaps the dissimulation, the hypocrisy of others, even though they could be Christians. You got to be careful. You got to let your pastor protect you. That's all I want to say there. All right, now let's go to Acts chapter 15. This is my favorite now. This is where I've been wanting to get to for many, many months, but guys, we have to build up the foundation. We can't just give it all to you in one lesson, amen, or else we'll be here for 6 hours, even though Eileen wants to be here for 8, but we're trying, amen. We're trying, Sister Eileen. We just got to get some nitro coffee, Brother Joe, and we'll be here all night, amen. Dunkin' Donuts, they didn't want to give me a large nitro. They said, brother, you won't be, oh, too crazy. I'm like, hey, man, give me that. So look here in Acts 15, guys. This is where the showdown went. This is Galatians 2. Paul's talking about going back down there. They had the meeting. I call it the HGH, the Holy Ghost Huddle, and they cleared the matter. They all came into agreement. For 2,000 years, the Bible has been here. God preserved his word. But why have there been so many denominations and religions who still want to act like Jews under the Old Testament law when God clarified the matter? The Roman Catholic Church wanted to have their own priesthood to be like a Jew. The Mormons wanted to be like the Jew with their priesthood. The Seventh-day Adventists wanted to honor the Sabbath. Me and Brother Joe were talking about that the other day. Why do they want to cling back to something that could not offer them anything but condemnation? It's because they failed to trust the Bible. Look at chapter 15, verse 1. Certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren. You got to be careful. Galatians 2, what happened? The false brethren, they came in unawares, privily. Now, you guys know we're a small church. It's all good. Obviously, we can notice if people start coming in here teaching stuff that they shouldn't be. We know that. But imagine if you were a little bit bigger, and imagine some dude coming in there with the same Bible you believe in, and they begin to say, hey, let's go have lunch, and let's go do this. Hey, you know that law? You know, hey, you still got to do this, and you still got to do that. Remember, watch out for those guys who privately want to teach you without your pastor being their friend to protect you. That's all I'm saying. Look at verse 1. This is what they said now. Except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. So all you got to do now is read Galatians 2 with Acts 15, and you'll be all right. So that's what they did. They were teaching that unless you had some works of the law with your faith in Jesus, ye cannot be saved. But what does your Bible say, brother? What does your Bible say, sister? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. What does your Bible say? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Your Bible already told you how to be saved. But those are the false brethren creeping in again. All right, verse 2. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, remember what I told you earlier? When you're doing your Bible study, identify the theys. Identify the thems from the we and the us. That'll help you with your Bible study. So look, with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. Was it a question? Or were they teaching it? I just want to point that out to you. Now look at verse number 3. So the church in Antioch told Paul and Barnabas, hey guys, look, it's becoming heated, all right? Why don't you guys just go back down there with all the brothers down there? Go talk to Peter. Go talk to James. Go hash it out. And then let us know what they say. Amen. And being passed and being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. Isn't that awesome? So notice the difference. While these Jews are trying to go back up there to argue with Christians about faith alone and Christ alone, here you have the Christians that are rejoicing in Gentiles getting saved by faith. So how can you tell a religious man different from a man who has a relationship with God, who is joyful about people getting saved? Who isn't? Just kind of think about that. Now look at verse 4. So they made it. They came all the way to Jerusalem. They were come to Jerusalem. They were received of the church and the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. Everything. Peter, James, John, you know the chief pastors of the church there? Here's what I'm preaching out there, y'all. Here's what I'm teaching out there, y'all. It ain't no secret. I'm letting you guys know right now. Barnabas, right? Yep. Silas, right? All these guys are in agreement. They know what we're doing. It ain't secret. This is what I'm teaching the Christians. They rejoice. Verse number 5. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believe. So now, what is the Bible doing? It's enlightening you of of the false brethren. Now you know the Pharisees are behind that thing. That it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. That's religion. That's what Galatians is warning you about. That's what Galatians is warning all Christians about, whoever that might be, whoever the theys might be within their denominational religious structure. Whoever says it's needful for you to observe whatever commandments outside of the faith of Christ, accursed, accursed, accursed. Watch out for them. But verse 6, the apostles and elders, they came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, ooh, I would have loved to see that, y'all. Peter and Paul and James and all the apostles and the elders, they're talking about this. They're disputing. They're going back and forth on the scriptures and saying, but faith, no, but it looks like, but Jesus and what he taught us. Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Did anybody read there in verse number 7? Hear the word of the gospel and circumcision and believe. Did anybody read that? Okay. Hear the word of the gospel and be baptized and believe. Is that what it says? No. Hear the gospel and believe. That's what Peter said. Peter just told the Jewish council, Jesus, our Savior, commanded me to go preach to the Gentiles the gospel and that they should believe the gospel. Are you following now? Look at verse 8. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. Who are the us? The Jews, because that's the context. He's talking to the apostles and elders. And put no difference between us and them. Here it is, church. Purifying their hearts by? Say one more time, by? So what is the problem? The problem is when these religions who are established of false doctrine and false brethren, they are able to dupe, they are able to deceive, they are able to draw disciples after them, and that is exactly how the Mormon Church was founded, the Seventh-day Adventist Church was founded, the Jehovah's Witness Church was founded, any other religion or religious church that teaches their members right now, it's needful to have commandments and faith, that's the false gospel. You know what the apostles said? Mm-mm. No commandments, mm-mm. No law, mm-mm. Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, he died on the cross for our sins. He was buried, he rose again. He put no difference between the Jew, Abraham's seed, and the Gentile, the son of Adam. He purifies that heart of the Jew and that heart of the Gentile by faith, period. This is the truth of the gospel. But wherever churches or religions or denominations teach that you must have works, or you must maintain works, you must have water baptism, you must speak in tongues, you must do something else but faith. Friend, that is what Galatians is warning us about. Verse 10. Now listen. Look at here, Peter. Now, therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples? You know what a yoke was? Remember how they plowed the field back in them day with oxen? They would put a big old, if you will, leash on an oxen, big old wooden thing, and that thing would control the oxen in the direction that it would go. They had no control. They were controlled by the man who had the yoke over them. You know what Peter said, a Jew, before these Jews? Why would we tempt God and put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers, those are, who were the fathers? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, remember the people of Israel, the 12 tribes, remember that? Nor we will able to bear. Isn't that awesome? Peter said we could not forbear the yoke of the law because it was a bondage. All it could do was keep us in bondage. All it could do was condemn us of our sin. But we, verse number 11, we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. That's Peter. What happened, Peter? You were solid. You agreed. They all came into agreement. But over time, they became carried away with the dissimulation of the false brethren because he feared man more than he feared God. Look at verse number 12. Then all the multitude kept silence and gave audience to Barnabas and Paul, declaring what miracles and wonders God had wrought among the Gentiles by them. Here it is. Now look at verse number 13. Follow along now. After they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon, that's another word for Peter, hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Go back to Acts 10. Gentiles, go back to Acts 8. Gentiles getting saved. Go back to Acts 2, verse number 15. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. James says in verse number 18, hope you're following along, Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Here's what James says. Remember, he's one of the pillars. Here's what Peter said. He's one of the pillars. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols all throughout the New Testament, fornication all throughout the New Testament, things strangled and from blood. Now watch this. Verse number 22. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church. Are you there now? Look at verse number 23. They wrote letters by them after this manner. And they say, us, you know, the apostles and elders and brethren, unto the churches up there. Now look at verse number 24. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. So who were they? False brethren. How did they get in there? Unaware. How did they get in there? Privately. Who sanctioned them? It wasn't the Holy Spirit. Who sanctioned them? It wasn't James. It wasn't Peter. It wasn't Paul. They all came into agreement. However, let's go back to our base text, Galatians 2. They came into agreement. Peter was the one who stood up. They're like, yeah, Peter, no, that's right, Peter. We're all saved by grace through faith. That's right. Us Jews, Gentiles, we're all saved by grace through faith. That's right. The law couldn't do nothing. We agree. We're all in agreement. But over time, Peter was to be blamed. Why? Because aside from the intellectual knowledge of the gospel and what it provided both the Jew and the Gentile, which is salvation, forgiveness of sins, inheritance, faith alone, when he took his heart and mind off the practical of the gospel, his theology and his practice, it fell short of that gospel truth because he was being carried away when he started fearing man. Verse number 12. And because of his conduct and because of his spiritual authority, other Jews, notice how the Bible calls him, they also followed his action. So what do I want to leave you with? Paul rebukes Peter, does he not? Paul calls out Peter, does he not? Paul, a Jew, tells Peter, another Jew, that the law killed and slew both of them when they both became aware of their inner transgressions and trespasses against God's laws. But in Christ Jesus, when he came into the world, he taught both Peter and Paul to believe in him, and he would give them everlasting life by faith alone. He reminded him how Jesus establishes the law's requirements for man's perfection. How could Peter think within himself to return back under the laws of bondage when he himself was more free by the lawgiver? It's because Peter and Paul, like us today, are men of like passions. They were not perfect, like we are not. But one of them was more mature. One of them was theologically stronger concerning the truth of the New Testament gospel, not just for what it offers the world, but how it commands its believers to obey and live thereafter. What's amazing from this interaction? Peter received correction from Paul and corrected his behavior. Peter did not argue. He did not stop serving with Paul. As a matter of fact, he continued going on. When Paul corrected and reproved Peter's behavior, Peter did not stop being Paul's friend. He didn't stop going to church with him. He didn't start complaining against him with the other apostles and elders there in Jerusalem. Peter kept serving God, and eventually he approved of Paul's doctrine and conduct. Before we come to a close, look up real quick to the screen. 2 Peter chapter 3. Why is this a big deal? Because here's what's going to happen. You are going to listen to somebody else outside of your pastor. That's okay. That's free will. But if you want to teach that, and here's what's going to happen. Brother Carlos, what do you think about this? Well, let's go to the Bible. And if the scriptures have already established that, or the scriptures have already proven something to be clear, then this is the answer. Those brothers are wrong, even though they're right over here. Out of 100 things, for example, they got 50 things that are good, 50 things that are bad. You ignore the bad. Take on the good. That's not a problem. Why? Because that's sound. It's all right. It's upright according to the truth. What I look for more in these brothers is not just their doctrine, it's their manner of living. Are they good men? Are they faithful? Are they faithful to their wife? Are they good friends? Are they peaceful? Do they have the fruit of the Spirit? Not just the knowledge. Look at here. Verse number 2 Peter 3, verse number 15. After Paul rebuked Peter, Peter did not get upset. He didn't stop talking to him. He didn't stop serving with him. He didn't stop going to church with him. He received it. He kept moving on. And later on, the humility of Peter, you know what he recognized about Paul? Look at what he said in verse number 15. Bible says here, this is Peter now, an account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul, you know what Peter called Paul? A beloved brother. You know what I'm working on, brother? And I'm going to be honest with you. This is Brother Carlos now. I am working on loving God's children, even when I am corrected by God's children. Because if I can get to the point where a brother can take the scriptures and say, Brother Carlos, here's what the Bible says. Theologically, man, you had some unique things. They're wrong. Oh, you know what, brother? Man, God's right. Not that pastor. God's right. And not the school of thought. No, the scripture right. I want to still be able to say, man, you're a beloved brother. Look at here. Our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles. Are you ready for this, church? Listen now. This is very important, because you are going to hear sometime down the line in your Christian walk that Peter and Paul taught different things. But that is not correct. Listen to the Bible, not Brother Carlos. Listen to the scriptures. Look at 2 Peter 3:16. Speaking in them of these things. What Peter wrote to his audience, he said Paul wrote the same things. And we, Paul and Peter, are writing unto you the same wisdom. Look at verse 15. According to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. So when they want to argue with me, brother, Peter wrote unto these people. His doctrine is for a particular time frame or whatever you hear online. They're wrong. Their system is wrong. Their school of thought is wrong. The scriptures are right. Is it a big deal? Not if they make it. Not if you make it. Once again, Peter says in verse 16, talking about Paul's epistles, all of them. He didn't say some, brother. He said all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. So you know what Peter said before he died, guys? This is very important. Now, if you get this, you're going to be all right. You're going to be all right. Before Peter died, he wrote unto these Christians and said, Christians, what Paul wrote unto you guys, I'm writing the same thing, because the same Jesus is giving us the same wisdom to write unto you, to warn you, to admonish you. Oh, yeah, I already know Paul's letters, man. They're kind of hard. I know some of them are some, you know, they're pretty some hard doctrine in there. But it's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. So what are we showing you? Peter and Paul believed the same gospel. They taught and preached the same gospel. It's just one praxis of that Christian gospel came short of his Christian conduct. But let's go back now to Galatians chapter 2 before we come to a close. We're almost done now. I'm just going 1 minute over. Go back now, Galatians 2. Paul rebukes Peter. Peter receives it. He continues serving God. He doesn't get all upset. He doesn't let his emotions get the best of him. He doesn't say, I'm going to stop going to church with that guy. No. He reminded himself, wow, you know what, Paul, you're right. I, as a Jew, I am justified by the faith of Christ. Look at verse 16. I, as a Jew, know that the only thing that can save my soul is the faith of Christ, not the works of law. And if I try to rebuild now what I destroyed, my old life, my former life, my former religion, whatever that might be for you today, friend, in application, if you try to go back now under that bondage that you were delivered from, you know what you can do, friend? Look at verse number 21. You can frustrate the grace of God. So what's the good news, friend? Jesus Christ is sufficient. Jesus Christ is better than anything you had in your past. He's better than the sins you commit in your past. If you keep your heart on Jesus, you're going to be okay. You're going to be theologically okay, and you're going to be spiritually okay, and you're going to be a good brother and a good member. Keep your heart and mind on Christ. But as soon as you allow your heart and your mind to be more on Christ's ministers, and you listen to this one guy more than Christ, then this stuff could potentially happen to you. So if you want to keep yourself leveled, keep yourself on Christ. Don't frustrate the grace of God wherever men's teachings might come short of the gospel of God. So friend, that's today's teaching. Let's go and pray. Father, I thank you for the Word of God. Lord, I know some of these doctrines are unique. Some of these are first-time hearers. And some of these, a lot of folks understood exactly what I'm trying to say, Lord. But God, as we read the Bible together, God, there's no room to question or to debate or to argue or to dispute, God, that there is the truth of your gospel, but there's also a manner of living. There's also the necessity to live righteous and holy, and there's a necessity to live in obedience. And God, even some of your greatest men came short of that. Lord, would you protect me and the members of our church from allowing ourselves to esteem men higher than the scriptures? Even though we might not have all the knowledge, even though we might not possess all the theology, the little that we do have an understanding, God, would you just guard our heart from being carried away by something that we might not know of because we're ignorant of, if it contradicts not just the truth of your gospel, but Christian conduct from the gospel, not favoring people, not acting one way in front of these Christians, but acting another way in front of these other Christians. May you help us, God, to treat all Christians how you want us to treat them, with love, with grace, with mercy, teaching them the same thing, to follow you, to obey you, Lord. And we thank you, Father, for what you're going to do. Help us, Lord God. Watch over our church. Watch over our members, God. I love them dearly, but you love them more, Lord. And may you continue to stir within them desire to serve you. Thank you, God, for the members that are making more effort to soul win, Lord. So it's a blessing, Lord. Please, God, watch over them. Help us to get home safely, and I will thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Church, I love you all. I hope you guys have a good rest of your day. Amen. The Lord bless you. Thank you for coming. All right, Eileen. God bless you.